Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, and rather than having the words projected on the screens, I would prefer that you would close your eyes, but don't doze off, and listen as I read the story, and imagine with your mind the narrative, the players, the scenery, all that's going around, in the background, in the foreground. And maybe you'll be able to find yourself someplace there with Jesus and the disciples. Hear God's word. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptizer sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus had cured many of that had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Now go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who is not offended by me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, then what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury live in palaces. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. And yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You see, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they had heard Jesus' words, agreed that God's ways are right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purposes for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Well, Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare this generation? What are these people like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptizer came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Oh, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But know this, wisdom is proved right by all of her children." This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, thank you very much for inviting us here to worship you, your invitation being none other than your Son, Jesus Christ, filled with grace and truth. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who opens the eyes of our hearts and our ears and our minds to receive all that you have for us as we worship together. Come and teach us, Holy Spirit, that we may go out changed people to the glory of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. His mission was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. His life and ministry were announced by God's messenger Gabriel. Miraculously conceived and filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. His diet and lifestyle, simple, odd. just what we would expect of a prophet. However, John was not just a prophet. John was the prophet sent by God to prepare God's people for God's Messiah, the Savior. And he did. He did a very good job. When we come to our text in Luke, John is in prison. So John's disciples have been bringing him news of what this Jesus has been up to. In our text, it says that John's disciples told him about all these things. All these things being the miracles that Jesus had done in the first 17 verses of chapter 7. Jesus healed the servant of a Roman captive, and he raised the dead son of a widow in the town of Nain. The response of the people to these miracles, the work of God through Jesus, they praised God. They said, finally, God is coming to help us. God is helping his people. Thanks be to God. The response of John the prophet, go and ask Jesus if he was the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had come to John to be baptized in the Jordan River. John was there. He heard the voice from heaven, the voice of God saying, "This is the Son that I love. I'm delighted in him." He saw the dove come and light on Jesus and stay there for a brief moment. And he told his friends, "I know that this is the one, because the one who sent me is the one who told me that when the man on whom the dove sits and stays a little while is the one I am sending to save my people." John knew. John even identified Jesus for the crowds and said, "Look over there. It is the Lamb of God sent to take away the sins of the world." John knew. But now that he's behind bars and his execution is not far off, he's not so sure. You see, John's ministry of preparing God's people for God's Messiah, John knew that he was preparing the people, and the Messiah would come with judgment on the people based on their response to John. John also preached the good news that the kingdom of God had come near, and it was Jesus who brought the kingdom to earth. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of healing and hope and new life. John, it looks like, was expecting something a little harsher, a little bit more of the judging type of kingdom. But the kingdom of God is where God's purposes are carried out. They're carried out for us, girls and boys, men and women, and all of creation. God's purposes, God's original intention for us at creation is carried out. You see, the kingdom of God is a term that means the rule or the reign of God. God's ways go. And God's way is for us to live in peaceful, harmonious relationship with God, our Creator, and with each other, and with all of creation, serving God's purposes together. Ready or not, Israel was moving into a major transition by God's design. God's Messiah had come. And John the Baptizer was God's gift of love and grace sent to prepare or ready the people. Luke tells us that the people responded to John's call to repent or turn, and were baptized. The baptism signifying a ritual cleansing, a turning from walking their own way to turning and walking in God's way. In other words, they were receiving and embracing God's way, aligning their hearts and their lives with God's purposes, and yes, with God's Messiah. Those who refused basically rejected God's way, God's purposes, God's Messiah. They were the Pharisees, the experts in the law. I always thought these should be the people who would know who the Messiah was because they studied the scriptures. Have you ever wondered why they missed the Messiah? I have. It could be that they refused the baptism because baptism represented that I needed to confess sin and turn from my sin and be cleansed of my sin. Perhaps they felt that didn't apply to them. And perhaps Jesus was not consistent with their understanding of God, God's ways, God's purposes. Maybe the things that Jesus said and did were not consistent with their understanding of themselves or other people. With Jesus, no longer was there a division between us and them, those sinners, tax collectors and prostitutes, the people that Jesus hung out with. We don't know exactly why, what the thinking of the people who rejected Jesus, especially the religious leaders, was. But we do know from life experiences that transition or change is never easy. And for these people, it seemed to be a little bit harder. Transition is not easy. How many of us, now I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many of us resist getting a new cell phone because we have to learn a new system? Or how many people with Apple products have resisted downloading the new operating system because it's something else to learn? Well, yeah, change messes with our comfort level. We have to learn something new, something unknown, get out of our routine. It also introduces an element of the unknown, which produces anxiety. Can't exactly see what's ahead, around the bend, because the road is taking a turn. Place of transition. It's where Gerard and I are as a family as I pursue my first call to ordained ministry. And it's where we are as a church family as we pursue the person of God's choosing to lead us and to shepherd us through the season of transition. Many unknowns. Yet, there is one known, one constant thing that we can be sure of that puts all of the unknowns and all of our transition in perspective. And that is that our God does not change. God's love and grace, God's tender mercies and kindness and goodness does not change. God's faithfulness does not change, and God's purposes do not change. God is our constant, and God is our rock. And Jesus defines and shows us God, who God is, who we are. Jesus shows us God's purposes for us and for our church. When John the Baptizer's disciples asked Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for somebody else?" What Jesus did is he redefined the role and the work of Messiah, of God's purposes. Listen again to verses 22 and 23. Jesus said, "Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who is not offended by me." Jesus brought healing and hope and help to the people because they needed it and because that is God's way. Healing and hope and help. And yes, there were those who were offended by Jesus, those who refused to align themselves with God and God's purposes for their lives, to join the ministry of Jesus, become part of the hope and the healing and the help that God was bringing. There were people for whom God's prophet and God's Messiah, did not meet their expectations and did not fit their purposes and their plans. These people had lost sight of who God is and who they were. They wanted to lead. They wanted to play the music, and they wanted Jesus to dance to their music. But Jesus calls us to follow. And follow we will. And we will look to Jesus to lead us. Life aligned with God's purposes, God's way. Think of life in that God, think of life aligned with God and God's ways as a dance. You know, a dance. Partners, one leads, and the two move together to the rhythm of grace, to the music of faith. Dancing with the Spirit of God, moving as the Spirit leads us to fulfill God's purposes. You see, the Holy Spirit is always at work, calling to people, drawing people to God, into that relationship that God has designed for us as His creation, as His people, as His sons and His daughters. The Spirit is always at work, and the Spirit is inviting us to dance, to be the Spirit's dancing partner, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Partnering with the Holy Spirit to share the good news of God's love and grace, to bring the healing and the hope and the help that Jesus has entrusted us with. These are God's purposes. As you and I move through our day, and together as a faith community, a church family, let us partner with the Holy Spirit. For it is the Holy Spirit who joins us to Jesus and joins us to one another as the body of Christ. One body moving with the Spirit. It all boils down to a phrase that a good friend from seminary used very often. He said, you know, you just show up and pay attention. Showing up in our daily lives and paying attention to the Spirit, but also to what's going on around us. I suggest that when you get up in the morning and you pray, you've had your coffee, you're ready to go, take a moment and ask God to show you where in your day the Spirit is working so that you can join, you can partner with the Spirit in the dance. Recently, my friend shared with me about her daughter, Susan. Her daughter, Susan, works with a young man who confessed that he was an atheist. Well, Susan also learned that he felt condemned by the church because he's gay. This friend of Susan's is the same age as her oldest son, who is a young adult. Susan treated him like a son, very kind and loving to him, because that's the type of person Susan is. The man has no family here. And one day he had an abscessed tooth, so Susan took him to the hospital and stayed with him while he was receiving treatment. During the course of a work day, the young man asked Susan to pray for him. Rather than pray for him, Susan encouraged him to pray. And he said, well, I can't pray. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Susan said, then talk to Susan's God. She intentionally didn't use any churchy language like pray to God. She wanted to bring it from that level so that this young man could hear and could receive. You see, Susan dances with the Holy Spirit even when she's at work. And you know what? Now her coworker dances with the Holy Spirit too, because this young man has opened his life to God. And Susan's God is now his God. He's put his faith in Jesus Christ and talks with God on a regular basis. As a faith community, we are moving into a season of transition. And I can tell you this, that the interim pastor search committee has been dancing with the Holy Spirit, trusting the Spirit to lead them to the right pastor, to shepherd and guide us through the transition period. As followers of Jesus, each of us need to dance with the Spirit. For the ministry, the work of Jesus is sorely needed by our lost and hurting and broken world. Some of us need to repent, to confess that we've been living lives along our own terms, and turn from walking in the ways that seem right to us, and turn and walk in God's ways, embracing God's purposes for our lives and dancing with the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you the words of a 16th century mystic from Spain, Teresa of Avila. Hear these words. Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, nor feet but yours. Your eyes, yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which God is to bless people now. So may today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing that you are a child of God. Let this presence settle deep into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing and dance and praise and love. It is there for each and every one of you. So please, resist the urge to be a wallflower, people, and let's dance. Let's pray. God, thank you for music. Thank you for movement. Thank you that you have given your son Jesus so that we can have a relationship with you according to your original design, and partner with you in the work of your son Jesus to bring the good news to our hurting world. Help us to do that. Show us how to do that, Lord. Free us up to dance with your Spirit to the glory of God. Amen.